Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, the biochemistry of heat, how our bodies and minds physically respond to 80 degrees, 90 degrees and above, and all that humidity as it's shaping up to be very hot and humid today. And we'll take calls from immigrants from tropical climates. What are the cultural effects of year-round heat and humidity where you originally came from? And how do people there adapt? We're already getting some great responses to that on Facebook. We'll take your calls later in the show. And City Councilman Jumaane Williams today on the death of Eric Garner. But first, as most of America debates how to deport the unaccompanied children coming from Central America, New York City is setting up ways to help the ones here.
That we have to embrace all immigrants. We talked about the municipal ID card. We talked about legal services for people facing deportation and trying to support these children who are now coming across the border because they're fleeing from violence.
Mayor de Blasio addressing the child migrant crisis from his Italy vacation. With us now, New York City Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Nisha Agarwal, who is leading a new task force on how to help those kids. Commissioner, thanks so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have an estimate of how many kids from which countries have come to New York City in, say, the last 2 years?
We have an estimate of the number of children who are among this sort of surge of unaccompanied minors, and it's estimated that around 3,300 or so have been placed in New York City already.
And how many of those roughly have chosen New York and come here directly themselves because they might have family or friends? And how many have been placed here, and I think you just used the term placed here, by the federal government?
Right. So most of these children that I was referring to have been placed here because they have family or relatives that are in the New York City area. They were likely somewhere else in a shelter, detention, and then were located in New York.
How are you most interested in helping these kids who are fleeing crime and drug violence in their countries?
What we've done is created an internal city task force, which has the Department of Education, the Administration for Child Services, and a number of other agencies involved to figure out how we can coordinate the services that we're already providing for the city and be able to do some targeted outreach to assist these particular children.
In what areas mostly?
In the areas of health and mental health screenings, legal screenings, as well as, looking about to their educational placement, educational services.
So they're eligible to go to New York City public schools just by virtue of being here, right?
Absolutely.
And with regard to mental health, the Times had an article that referred to trauma as being a big need that needs to be addressed?
Absolutely. I mean, these children are fleeing quite harrowing situations and then make a long journey from their home countries to ultimately land in New York City and in our school system. And I think we have a responsibility to ensure that their mental health needs are addressed as well.
And the Times reported that the federal government is asking for the city's help in finding shelters or other housing for the child migrants. Is there much homelessness in the city today among this population?
So the shelters that are in question actually would not be for homeless children so much as they would be for children who would be placed here temporarily before they're relocated to another part of the country where they may have a relative.
Is that a combination shelter and detention center in a way?
In a way.
Are you planning to help these kids win asylum or refugee status? I know you're a lawyer as well as immigration commissioner.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, access to justice for immigrants is a major goal of ours. And it's estimated that many of these children may have legitimate asylum claims or claims to other special visas for immigrant children. And so our hope would be to enable them to have legal screenings and get the assistance that they need from high-quality legal services providers.
Listeners, we can take your calls for the New York City Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Nisha Agarwal, 212-433-WNYC, on how to help the child migrants coming from Central America or anything else, 212-433-9692. And on due process and the applications for refugee status or asylum, an article in the Times the other day was about how so many of the kids won't really get due process as Washington makes it a priority to speed up deportations to discourage more people from coming. Do you see part of your job is to help individual kids resist the bum's rush?
Absolutely. I actually thought that Times article was excellent because it made the point that if you do expedited removal at the border, many of these children who may have asylum claims may not be able to make out those claims at the border for a variety of very compelling reasons. And so we really see our role as being able to connect these children to all of the services and supports they might have, which might be asylum, refugee status, et cetera.
What makes due process, in your opinion, for kids in this situation?
I think for kids in this situation, due process is actually being able to get qualified legal counsel that can help them assess their current sort of situation and their ability to make out a claim. And even if they have to be deported, have a counsel there to advise them and support them.
So will the city be providing lawyers to these kids?
So the city has actually already funded a program for deportation defense for New York City residents here, which is very exciting.
This is ongoing? This is prior to this particular wave?
It's prior to this particular wave. And then there are a number of different legal services providers who actually reached out to our office to say, how can we help support these children in particular? What can we do? Which would be pro bono counsel.
And I'm aware that City Council approved $5 million just last month for lawyers to help detained immigrants facing possible deportation. This fund is for something called the New York Immigrant Family Unit Project. Is some of that money for kids in this category?
That money is for anyone who finds themselves in immigrant detention here in New York City, but it's a good example of how we should provide counsel for all who are in these situations.
So what do you think the City of New York taxpayers are paying in total to help the wave of child migrants?
You know, at this point, we don't have an estimate of what the costs are because we're still figuring out how to connect the services that are potentially available to these children, but we should have a sense of that soon enough.
New York City Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Nisha Agarwal, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. If you have a comment or a question, what do you think when you hear statements like this from people like Senator John McCain?
There has to be a halt to this. That's what we want. And the best way to do that is for plane loads of these young people to be returning to the country of origin and their families who have spent as much as a year's salary paying these coyotes who are also in the business of $85 billion a year drug business will not be able to get their money and send their kids north.
Your reaction to any of that?
My reaction to this whole situation is these are children and they're the victims here. And I hear things like that and I really see it as blaming the victim and that there are deeper root causes that we need to be addressing rather than shuttling these kids as fast as we possibly can back to situations of violence.
But to part of Senator McCain's clip there, what kinds of stories are you hearing from the kids about the coyotes or others who smuggle them here? We're hearing, you know, and maybe this is just coming from the immigration hawks who want to exaggerate the situation, I don't know, but we're hearing stories of kids being forced to act as drug runners, kids being abused, kids being forced into prostitution, their families being extorted, all this stuff.
When I hear that, I believe it to be true. I think it's part of the stories that we're hearing from these kids who are in New York City. And again, I think that's the reason that they're fleeing. They'd rather go to school. They'd rather be children and instead are facing these inescapable choices.
Except, inescapable choices. The John McCains of the world want to make it sound like the real danger to the kids is from the transport to the United States rather than from staying put.
Absolutely. And these children likely don't want to leave their original homes, but they don't. They're trapped in making this choice to have to basically risk life and limb to travel to another country.
So President Obama tried to look at the root causes the other day as part of the bulwark of American policy toward these kids in the long term. He said this.
The American people are an incredibly compassionate people. And when we see a child in need, we want to care for them. But what I think we all agreed on is that the best thing that we can do is to make sure that the children are able to live in their own countries safely.
So that's a statement of the ideal. He's not quite saying the same thing as John McCain said, but he's really not saying the same thing as you're saying either, which is that the immediate imperative is to help the kids who are here be safe and get due process. He's saying we have to create the conditions to get them back to their home countries as soon as possible. Are you getting the support at the city level that you want, either, you know, philosophically, ideologically, or logistically from Washington?
Well, you know, we've been, in terms of our interaction at the city level, we have a tremendous amount of support. And I think we're trying to get better information from the federal government about how many children they anticipate will be placed here and better coordination. And we wish we had probably a little bit more of that. But what we can do at the city level has been really fantastic.
Like what? More coordination, more of that. What do you want from Washington that you're not getting?
I think we would like clear data, for sure, on the number of children and a little bit clearer channels of communication about what to expect.
What to expect regarding?
Regarding the children and sort of where what the plans are in terms of the policy framework here is really evolving quite rapidly. And so being able to have a point of contact in understanding how this will affect New York City at the federal level will be very helpful.
Raymond in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with the New York City Immigration Affairs Commissioner. Hello, Raymond. Raymond, are you there? All right, we'll try to get back to Raymond. Why do you think the reaction to the influx of these unaccompanied kids is so much different in New York than almost anywhere else? Most of the country seems to see them as anything from a nuisance to a sovereignty threat. People here seem pretty chill about the whole thing. Texas Governor Rick Perry is deploying the Texas National Guard to the border to keep these kids out. We're deploying legal aid lawyers to help them stay in. Why the difference, do you think?
You know, well, one thing I'll say is I'm not really sure how much some of these more provocative examples like Rick Perry are really reflective of the vast majority of Americans. It's really hard to know. I think most people, President Obama was right, are compassionate, realize that these are children. And so, you know, I don't know how much they reflect most of America. But this is sort of the way New York City's always been with regard to immigrant communities. We see immigrants as an asset rather than a detriment to our city's well-being. And so I think that partly explains the different attitude.
Let's try Margaret in Washington Heights. Margaret, can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I am glad that we have resources and that we're deploying them to take care of the immediate problem. But I am very concerned about establishing a precedent for the long term. We have many, many serious problems in New York and in our own country. We don't even have much of a safety net for the people who are here. And I worry about the plight of these children in future if they stay. And I really don't believe that we have any right to interfere in the domestic affairs of other countries.
By domestic affairs of other countries, that would include not taking in refugees or people who see themselves as refugees fleeing those countries?
There are laws in place and there is a process for bringing refugees into the United States, and that's been in place for quite a long time. I see that this is an emergency refugee situation, but as I say, I'm very concerned about establishing a precedent so that this becomes an ongoing problem, which, by the way, does not resolve the issues in the home countries where these children come from.
Is your bottom line concern that the United States or New York will be overrun by too many refugees in a way that will cripple or hamper our society, our ability to function as a society?
No, because I don't think the numbers have ever existed in quite that proportion. But I do see it as creating something of a problem for us in future.
Margaret, thank you very much.
Well, you know, one thing I would say, and I've thought about this a lot, is that it's not really an either-or situation. So one of the things we're doing in the city, right, is we expanded universal pre-K. We've expanded the number of slots for middle school, after-school programs. We're doing a lot for children in New York, and we're hoping to do a lot for these kids as well. And so I think the broad point is actually true, which is that we need to address these longer-term questions about the social safety net and how we ensure that all children have a healthy and productive future. And at least so far, in Mayor de Blasio's administration, we've been thinking about both sides of that problem.
Do you acknowledge that the number of kids making it across suggests the federal government is not in control of the border?
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, because most of these kids, the reason they're being identified is because they are being apprehended at the border, or they're often showing up and voluntarily turning themselves over to Border Patrol.
Because they see that as their means to safety.
Exactly. And so the notion that we need to actually further militarize the border is a little bit funny, because we are actually pretty secure at the border, and that's how these kids are being identified in the first place.
Let's try Raymond in the Bronx again. Raymond, do you have me now?
Yes,
Hi.
I'm here.
Hi.
Well, my question is this. I mean, okay, let's say I take myself. I mean, I understand that, you know, we can allow a certain amount of refugees in because we should have compassion on others and you know, from other countries and things like that. But these kids are kind of smart, then. If they, you know, we were saying they're turning themselves over because they're under duress or something like that. You know, it could, in one sense, it could be organized. And then in the other sense, me, I'm waiting for a visa now, right? I got enough money to take care of myself to live in the United States, but I'm on a lottery. I'm waiting for a visa to come to the United States. So what's to say that I have enough money to live here? What's to say I can tell my kids, okay, go, you know, I'm going to take my kids to Mexico or someplace and say, okay, go into the United States and say you're under duress. I mean, is that fair for people who are waiting legitimately to come to New York City to live, to open a business, or to establish a life? Is it fair for them who are waiting on a lottery or waiting to pay for their visas that we let people come in free?
Commissioner?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I actually think, again, this is a question of what we obviously need at the federal level is federal immigration reform, which would address this backlog issue, which I totally agree is a problem. When we talk about getting to the back of the line, if the line is so long that the wait is interminable, that is a problem for folks that are already here. And I think part of the reason why we see such an influx of undocumented people trying to come into the United States is because we haven't reformed our immigration system so far. So, again, I would think we need to fix the system for people like you while at the same time showing compassion for these refugee children.
Ignatius in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ignatius.
Hi, good morning. I would like to ask you, is there any way that these kids could be hosted by a host family?
That's a good question. I mean, so far, I think the only discussion has been around the shelters and the there are strict federal guidelines about what the shelters could be. And so I don't know that it would be possible to have host families support these children. But there will be and could be other ways that individuals who want to help can assist these children. And we're exploring those and figuring out ways for the public to be involved.
Like how?
You know, I imagine, I know in some of the Texas detention centers / shelters where these children are, they've asked for clothing and other kinds of sort of resources for the children. We haven't started mobilizing any of that in New York City, but to the extent that those are the types of ways in which people can help out, that would be great.
And the host families question, probably not so relevant to this situation because you said the criteria for placing kids here in the first place tends to be that they have relatives.
Exactly.
Anna in Briarcliff Manor, you're on WNYC. Hello, Anna.
I just think this is so utterly ridiculous. It makes Americans look very foolish. We can't control kids coming across the border. And with the reasoning that this woman is talking about, there are kids in all parts of Africa who are trying to escape gang violence. Should we bring them all here? And to release 14 to 17-year-old boys into this country from a violent country, they have no education, no jobs, no money. What else do you think they're going to do in this country? It just is so ridiculous.
Commissioner, talk to Anna.
Sure. So, you know, I think that the point of being able to provide some of the services and supports to these kids is so that they're not just left to, you know, be in New York City without educational services, connections to the services that would prevent them from really going down the wrong path. And so I think that's the idea here. And, you know,
we don't even have money for kids in our own country who are going down the wrong path. And we're borrowing this money. Taxpayers will have to pay for this. It's just insulting. It's very, extremely insulting. And for anyone to vote for Democrats, they do not care about the taxpayers. It's just horrible.
Well, we got into a blanket partisan statement there. But many Americans obviously feel the way she feels on the issue. How many refugees can the United States take in? And if we're setting a single standard here of children fleeing violence, why not the children from Central Africa, the example she used, who are probably in need of refugee status in much greater numbers?
Right. I mean, I think one of the reasons that we're seeing children that are coming from Central America is because that they are sort of proximate to us, and that's how they're getting here. You know, we're we also do have a well-functioning refugee system that also does enable people from other parts of the world that are fleeing persecution or other problems to come into the United States and to be integrated here, and we have that system in place as well. Again, it's a system that enables the country to be able to assist those who are in need, but also ensures that it's done in a way that's planned and thoughtful.
I think Catherine in Manhattan wants to talk back to Anna in Briar Cliff. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. So I spent a few months in El Salvador a couple of years ago, and so I follow what's going on down there. And I just don't think people understand what these kids went through down there. First of all, the notion that the kids who come here are the ones who want to be criminals and gangsters. If they wanted to be criminals and gangsters, they would stay in El Salvador. That's how a kid survived down there. What happened a couple of years ago was a report came out, the State Department came out with a report that El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala had the highest murder rates in the world. And the government of El Salvador decided that the way to bring down the murder rate was to create a truce between the gangs. I walked around as an American citizen fearlessly in El Salvador. All the murders that happened down there are between gang violence against each other. So the government decided to create a truce between gangs, which actually had the result of unifying and empowering the whole gang culture in El Salvador. That happened several years ago, and that's probably what the big shift was that has created it. The gangs run the school. A good kid who wants to go to school and stay out of trouble does not have an option to do that. I mean, the kids who are fleeing here are the ones who want to live a decent life, who want to be good kids, who don't want to be involved in violence. And it's extraordinary, the number of people, one of the major ways the gangs make money is that they go to random people, and they threaten them. They say, if you do not give us $2,000, we will kill your mother, your family, and people live under this sort of violence constantly. They have to move, they have to hide. I had a friend down there whose boyfriend was a U.S. citizen, and she had two children by him who were in the U.S., and she could not get permission. She waited years trying to get permission to come to the United States. So the idea that there is a line to get in, especially these kids, these people have no money. You have to apply. You have to pay just to apply to the United States.
Catherine, I'm going to leave it there. We have a terrible phone connection, but we hear a lot of what you're saying about the situation in El Salvador. We're almost out of time, but I'm comparing the last two callers, one who's afraid that a lot of these kids without education grew up in violent societies are going to be more prone to violence and go down the wrong path if they're allowed to stay here, than the second caller who said, well, no, these are the good kids. These are the ones who are fleeing the violence. I don't want to whitewash or vilify these kids as a group. What if somebody does commit a crime when they're here in this status? Does that change their ability to stay? Does that change their application for asylum?
I mean, I think that immigration law has a certain bars and restrictions and rules around criminal activity, and it significantly influences your ability to stay in the country. So, of course.
Before you go, will the kids be eligible for the municipal ID cards that the mayor and city council have approved to begin issuing next year?
You know, if the children end up being residents of New York City and can establish their identity and residency, then yes, they could get a municipal ID card.
And can you say something about the implementation of the municipal IDs from an immigrant affairs standpoint? Are they mostly to make it easier for undocumented immigrants to get government services?
No, actually, we really do see this as an ID card for all New Yorkers, many of whom are non-immigrants. They may be people who are seniors or homeless who have difficulty getting ID, though, of course, also a major group that will benefit from this are undocumented immigrants.
New York City Immigration Affairs Commissioner Nisha Agarwal, running a task force now set up by Mayor de Blasio to help the unaccompanied child migrants from Central America coming into New York by the thousands. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, City Councilman Jumaane Williams on the death of Eric Garner. Stay tuned.